It's bonus pod 264.
You stand outside a very humble sort of hut with a corrugated tin roof. It's pouring with rain. When you think this is the right place, you're told the mystic here would solve all your problems, would help you achieve professional success, financial success, would help you sort out a fence dispute with your neighbor, would bring your ex-partner back. It seemed like a lot to promise, but you've tried everything else and nothing has worked. This is your last hope for positive change in your life. And you look up on the sign and it says, P&P Fortunes, in an old mystical font. And you look to your left, you look to your right. It's darker, but there's a warm light emitting from the gaps in the curtain that cover the entrance to this hut. And you go, oh, what the hell? I've tried everything else. And you pull the curtain back and you step in. And suddenly you're in it's like such a large space. From the outside, it looks like a small hut. But inside, it's surprisingly spacious. It's a bit like the TARDIS, you think. And you sort of giggle to yourself a little. And on the, you can hear the rain pitter-patter outside, but inside it's warm and dry, and there are thin, humble red columns holding the fabric of the tent up, and there's a rug in the middle of the tent, the room, and on the rug is a simple table with a crystal ball on it, and in the crystal ball there's a sort of glowing miasma kind of moves around. It's bluish and it's sort of reddish and then it's yellowish, but there's no one else there. There's a seat by the crystal ball, but you seem to be the only person in the hut. And you go, hi, my name's Podbud. You probably already knew that, seeing as you are a fortune teller. I was told to look for you. I was told to stop complaining and go to you and you would solve all my problems. Is that true? And you look around, there's no voice. And you go, huh. You think might as well wait for them. And you sit down in the chair at the small table and you look at the crystal ball. And as you look at it, the glowing bit of it, the miasma, the mist in it just gets bigger and bigger. And you go, oh gosh, what is that anyway? What kind of effect is that? Is this like an LCD screen? And you touch it and it goes, tap, like that. Ah! What the? And it seems to be glowing redder now, like it's angry with you. And you go, what is this? And you look closer and closer. And then four hands reach out of the thing. Ah! And grab your head and boom! And you're yanked into the crystal ball. And you're falling. You're just in this red cloud that changes to blue. And you go, ah! And there's like lightning. Ah! This color all around you. It's like you're tripping. It's like a bad trip and you're falling, and you land, ooh! And you're back in the tent, but the little table's gone. And you can hear the rain outside, and standing above you are Phil and Pierre. And Phil says, put it all on black at the casino. And you go, really? And Phil nods. All on black. And you walk out, thrilled, so excited for your new life. And when you're gone, Pierre looks at Phil and goes, wait, did you say black? And Phil goes, yeah, that's the red one, right? And Pierre goes, no, that's red, idiot. And he picks up a big cartoon mallet and boinks Phil on the head. Welcome to Bonus Pod.
I like that a lot. I like this cartoon.
You like this one?
Yeah.
The sort of Three Stooges ending. Do you like that?
Yeah, I like it. I like it as a cartoon, just like giving out bad advice to credulous people. It tickles the part of my brain that makes toddlers laugh when you go, you pick up like a shoe. You go, is this a cup? And toddlers... toddlers are like, ah! Like they just lose their minds.
Yes, right. Yeah.
I make my nephews laugh And indeed, the children of my cousins, whatever those are called, I can never remember if they're second cousins or first cousins once removed.
Oh, yeah. What's the point of saying second cousins if you're going to say how removed they are? Isn't the second, third, doesn't that denote how removed they are?
Because I think my second cousin is my cousin's cousin. And I think my cousin's children are my first cousins once removed, like once down from me.
Right. Okay.
But I've never been clear on it.
No.
I make the children who are related to me laugh by, if they insult me, I take it incredibly seriously.
Okay, so what kind of insults are we talking about?
So my
you cousin- lack boldness. Did I ever say that?
You have a hopeless air about you. They say things like that. It's very cruel.
You do not know yourself, Uncle Pierre.
I should say I have one of my nephews is a samurai. You should take decisions in seven breaths. Things like that, they always say. No, for my cousin's kid at Easter.
You have forgotten the old ways, my niece would occasionally say to me as I bounce her on my lap.
As we look through some of her these books that teach you how to read, and like this is a train, and she'll just turn her head to me like 180 degrees like an owl and say, "You have forgotten the old ways." You know, like kids do. Actually, you know what? It'd be more frightening if a kid said it without seeming possessed, like it really was them. "You've forgotten the old ways." What? And they just go back to coloring in. They don't even look back up at you.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, God.
No, but what do they say? What do your actual young relatives say?
While they're coloring in. "Gone are the days of the philosopher kings." Sorry, what did you say? Nothing. Ugh.
I said, "Where's the red one? Where's the red crayon?"
So my cousin's kid over Easter would say variations on, it started out pretty classic, "Hello, Mr. Smelly Bum."
It's good stuff.
Obviously, I said, "Do you want to start a podcast?" he didn't know what that was. So he started with "Mr. Smelly Bum." That's good stuff. But then we got more creative. Then we got "Mr. Smelly Socks." And that's, you think, yes, that is another thing that can be smelly.
It's true.
But is less true. Direct than the bum.
It's route two. It's
route two. And then we hit route three. "Hello, Mr. Smelly Eyes."
Wow. Whoa. Now we're pushing the envelope.
Now we're talking. Imagine if someone could smell your eyes. You'd be able to smell them too, presumably.
Because you'd never be able to escape them. And crying would reek. Can you imagine?
What stinks?
Ah, Pierre's had a really bad day.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, it's my eyes. My eyes stink. It's a horrible
idea.
Pierre's
chopping onions. It doesn't smell like onions. That's not what stinks. It's the tear. His eyes have overpowered the onion.
That's
the
really
onions
funny.
Are out here crying now.
That's a really funny sentence. That's not when Pierre what cuts stinks.
When Pierre cuts onions, the onions cry. That's what they say.
Just holding up your hand. That's not what stinks. Halt.
No.
What's that smell? Oh, Pierre's chopping onions. Oh, right. That's not what stinks.
What?
What?
The onions.
The onions. That's not it.
I know you. I can tell you're assuming it's the onions that stink.
It's not that. okay. Well, what is it? His eyes. His eyes stink. Okay. So what I do is when my nephew or niece or whatever relative says, "Hello, Mr. Smelly Eyes," what you do is you react like they've just destroyed you. They've devastated you.
Nice.
And not even just in an insult way. They've in a way that, you know, they've told you that, you know, it's all over. The house is burnt down, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he would say, "Hello, Mr. Smelly Eyes," and you have to do like fake cry. What? My eyes? No! No! Yeah. And like really go heavy on like, no! Like a weeping supervillain.
Yeah, yeah,
and they love it because their words never normally have any impact on adults.
Interesting, of course.
They're powerless children.
Must just be thrilling for an adult to take them at their word and to, and actually sort of like have to deal with the consequences of what they've said.
My eye, no, I didn't know that could happen. How do I
stop this? Help me,
please, please. If you noticed it, you can surely solve it. Surely, please. They love it, yeah, because it never happens. It won't happen for them until they're much older. So it's a real, I think it's a real relief. And they find it just really funny that this silly thing that they've said is getting this insane reaction from like an otherwise quite taciturn adult.
Yes, yes. And has it ended at eyes? Are they naming other parts of your body that might be smelly?
We might have got to smelly hair. We might have, which makes more sense again. Now we're coming back around again.
Yeah.
I think the most surreal thing about your body that could smell is the eyes. Every other part of your body could conceivably have a smell quite easily, but eyes, there's no way.
Yeah, it feels odd because your lids are always like wiping them clean. Mm. It's like how can they be smelly?
Yeah, something's got to be so I've got to be so ill in some terrible way.
Yeah.
But yes, that's my hot tip for you if you interact with kids. I don't think it works if they're your own kids because then they might worry because they've clearly upset their caregiver.
Yes, yeah.
And that comes with more implications that maybe the person the person in charge of you is not as strong as you thought.
Yes.
That's quite upsetting. Whereas I'm...
Yeah, you aren't as well protected as you'd assumed.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas I'm just another adult and so that's just funny.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm of no consequence.
I remember when I was a kid, very young kid, my uncle Bobby would come over and, you know, he'd often take us to, you know, tuitions or music lessons and things like that as a favor. And he was a bodybuilder. He's really buff, Uncle Bobby. But I was too young to understand that was a thing.
Yeah.
I just thought people were skinny or fat.
Yes.
And because he was big, I thought he was fat. And so I'd go, Uncle Bobby, fat pig. I just thought I'd call him fat pig all the time. And he was so nice. He'd just be like, yes, yes, come on.
Fat pig.
And he'd be like, all right, come on, get in the van.
Man.
He had a van. He had a long van who'd drive us to.
Oh, man. East Asian weight culture is so fucking harsh.
I know, from the kids to an adult man, the kids, you're not safe from the kids. You're a fat pig. He wasn't. He was like buff. He was muscular.
But even if he was fat.
Oh, you're a fat pig.
You're a fat pig. Yeah. Jesus Christ, kid.
Yeah, and I now feel so bad about that, but he was a real good sport about it. I remember once, like, a cousin or something, like, we sat down and the cousin's like, you know, I've been thinking, I think it's very bad that we call Uncle Bobby a fat pig all the time. And I was like, really? Do you think so?
You're like, no, it's funny. It's funny. Good.
He's not skinny. He must be fat. That's just one of the things you can be, isn't it?
Well, we can't call him a skinny pig. Look at him.
But then it was part of this culture. Like, one of the songs we were taught at school, the Chinese school, was Fei Zu, Fei Zu, Fei Du Du, Chi Bao Jiu Sui Fu Lu Lu, which is just fat pig, isn't it fat? It's eaten until it's full and now it's asleep. So even at school, we were taught that it's a fat pig, and here's a tune that you can sing fat pig to.
Yeah.
Should you ever need to call someone it?
If you ever need to call someone a fat pig, which by the way is an idea that we're now planting in your mind. So fat things are different. Fat things are often pigs. You can call anything fat a fat pig. That's step one, kids. Okay. Step two, if you want to do it in a kind of chanting, repetitive way, here is a song for that you will all now learn off by heart.
And in case you need a couple of behaviors that are common that you could identify, yeah, use to identify a fat pig.
Yeah, yeah.
They will eat a lot and be quite lethargic.
Yes. So, like, just in case you're wondering, but who, if I want to call a person a fat pig, what should I be looking at? Yeah, in terms of what they get up to or what can I accuse them of? Those are two of the main ones. So get out there. Spread the word. I don't know.
Yes. Our school songs were odd. I think I've sung a couple of them before to you. There's Fetu Fetu about a fat pig. Then San Luta powder, Guai powder, you're allowed to die. Yeah, the number three bus goes real fast. An old lady got on. It cost 50 cents, but she gave a full dollar. Would you say that is strange?
What?
Yeah, so San Luta powder, Guai, Sang Man, Zora, Lao Tai Tai, Yao Wu Mao, Gei Yi Kwai, Ni Shuo Qi Guai, Bu Qi Guai. So it's. The Route 3 bus goes real fast.
Yeah.
On it, there sits an old lady.
This is a riddle.
It costs 50 cents. She gave a dollar. Would you say that is strange?
this is the kind of scenario and follow-up question I'd expect to hear from beneath a Hessian bag when I'm handcuffed to a chair. I wake up in a shipping crate and I just hear that story. The number three bus goes quite fast. An old lady gets on. The ticket is only 50 cents, but she pays a full dollar. Would you say that's strange? Please, just let me see my family. Where am I? Answer the question. Would you say that's strange? Yeah, I guess. It seems like more money than she needs to pay. Exactly. So why did you pay? like it's something to do with
why
like
did you pay
history.
Your shareholders? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. What is there another verse where they answer it? She is senile, that's a shame.
Well, the thing that follows instantly is Bu Qi Guai, Bu Qi Guai, and you have to say it quite angrily.
That's right, it is an interrogation. That sounds
and the response is it's not strange.
No.
I can't remember where it goes from.
Really?
There.
Is it really the response?
Yeah, Bu Qi Guai. Bu Qi Guai.
I want to say Bu Qi Guai.
Bu Qi Guai.
Bu Qi Guai.
So Qi Guai is strange and Bu is not.
Bu Qi Guai.
Yeah.
So I can walk around in like a thong in China now and say Bu Qi Guai. Bu Qi Guai. And anyone who looks at me, I can say, hey. Okay, and they'll all nod and they go okay.
As long as he says so. I was wondering.
As long as it's not strange.
If anything, the nursery rhyme about the lady in the bus taught me is to always think twice about whether or not something's strange because I might have it wrong.
Oh man, that's so. I can't think of any sort of childhood songs that I learn anything that was sort of equivalent level weird. All the childhood songs I learned were inevitably about the Black Death. Christianity.
Or... Well, aren't they all about the plague? Like, nursery rhymes
Ring a Ring of Roses.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And London Bridge burning down.
Yeah, they're all about disasters.
They're all from the
English
1600s.
Nursery rhymes are about disasters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Nursery rhymes. There's a hole in my bucket.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Liza, which I never really...
A terrifying name. Dear Liza, Dear Liza.
There's a hole in my bucket.
And then you research it and it's about some fucking drought or famine.
One man went to mow a meadow.
Oh, I like that one.
I like that
went
one.
Went to mow a meadow.
Something, two something, men, something, something. Da, 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 da.
Da. Oh no! Now that's Robin Hood. Da, 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 love by the hood is Robin Hood.
I seem to remember "One Man Went to Mow a Meadow" is one of those songs that stacks up. There's one man, two dogs, three hens, four. You know.
Yes. No, that had a nice tune, a nice vibe. Two men went to mow. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
because
yeah.
When I first heard it, I thought mow was a place, and it was quite a mysterious place that all these people were going to mow. You know?
Yeah. Went to mow, brackets, it's a meadow. that we call Mo.
Yeah, they put in the square brackets like in articles where the person hasn't said the word, but for context, the reporter has to let you know what the word would have been.
Went to Mo, a meadow. They took a long time to get to it in this conversation, in this interview. And the rest is all just hymns and stuff. Like, I'm trying to think if there was anything in South Africa, any particular South African
anything
thing
about like the Chongololo or how to avoid a Chongololo.
The Chongololo
went to slow.
The Shungololo, something hollow. I wonder. There's definitely African songs that I vaguely recognize that are sort of quite traditional now and then, but they tend to be like the most obvious ones that are on like fucking Graceland, you know, like pretty obvious.
I
mean, the national anthem's got 5 fucking languages in it. I remember doing a lot of learning of that.
What is the South African opinion on Graceland, by the way? Do they like it?
I don't really know. I think people would sort of... There's always that thing, if you're from a country that's not always the main country and not always represented, that when there's someone big and famous and American like Paul Simon comes and does represent you and make you big and famous, then you're always excited and happy for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Malaysia would have been the same.
Exactly. And so initially excitement and delight and like, wow, look at this and isn't this nice? And then, of course, the backlash of like, oh, it's a bit reductive. They miss stuff out. It's slightly paternalistic maybe, blah, blah, blah. And then the backlash of like, actually, even with all that, it was still good. You know, the usual shit that is the only reason journalism makes any money these days.
It's true.
Initial story, backlash to initial story, relash back to initial story with caveats. Over and over again till we're all dead.
The circle of life. It's a holy harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you say that's strange? 50 cents, she paid $1.
And it
on the Route 3 bus.
Seemed to me you lived your life like a big fat sleepy pig.
Speaking of old ladies on buses and sleepy pigs, we should read some VIP correspondence.
Yes. I have to think about little South African songs if I remember any, if there were any. Robin gets in touch.
Nice. Robin, I think we've had Robin.
Robin is a loyal pod,
yes.
Dear Willy and Wonka, major Pistorian here on her 4th or 5th listen through the back catalogue.
No. Ow. Physicians have given up on Robin. Physicians have given up recommending.
Priests do not recommend. It's at that level now. We're beyond
medicine. Extraordinary work. Extraordinary work, Robin.
Yeah, Dr. Jamil doesn't recommend. Wow, that is amazing. 4th or 5th listen through the back catalogue. Genuinely can't remember how many times I've listened at this point. It just blends together in one big brown stain. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you, Robin.
In episode 112, you start talking about the fact that internet service providers are like Willy Wonka, and you only have to ask for a better deal, and then... My boy. I'd forgotten that. Sorry, can I just pay less than this? My boy, you've done it. You've asked. That's right. You can have whatever you like. But you also called to cancel Willy Wonka for gaslighting. Who would have guessed?
Yes.
What were we gaslighting him about? Oh, because he was pretending that you'd failed, maybe.
Yeah, get nothing.
You get nothing. You lose. Who would have guessed that the best part of 3 years later, young Phil Wang would become buddies with Mr. Wonka?
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Full circle moment.
Full circle moment. Also, the pay your oompas slogan you came up with was very close to the plot of the film itself. Pay your oompas. Koji Robin, and then Robin says some very nice things because she saw me supporting Frank Skinner on tour. Thank
Lovely.
You for that. That is a technical inquiry. Guys, if you have a technical issue and you send it to the chat, we're so far behind that I might get to your technical issue genuinely months after you've had it. So it's always better just to DM me on Instagram or Twitter because we only use the Patreon account for correspondence and BudPod account email, the main BudPod email for correspondence as opposed to like actual day-to-day business dealings, which is obviously confusing and inefficient, but such is life. Okay, this is someone who has sent something to the main one. We're not insane, by the way, Phil. I saw an article about how Gmail is like dying and its search function is shit and corrupted now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gotten worse.
Hmm.
Some sort of tech person was agreeing with us, so it must be true.
But how? There's a whole building in fucking Silicon Valley dedicated to making one app work, isn't there?
I know. It's insane. How many fucking ball pits do these nerds need to code a decent email address? Come on, nerds.
Yeah. Which fucking beanbag stragglers responsible for this?
Put down your complimentary tacos from that food truck and get back to work. Okay. This is from David.
Oh, yeah. David Arbevid.
Yeah. Greetings, the Podfarter and the Podfarter Part 2.
Oh, excellent.
Very nice. I have attached a photo of a warning sign I saw next to a urinal in an Edinburgh restaurant, Macca's Mash Bar. I would strongly recommend to go in when you're up for the fringe.
Hmm.
I don't know, David. Going to pubs during the fringe, it could be a risky endeavour. They're always very busy.
Yes, they are. And there's always at least a few surly locals who are angry that the fringe has made it busier.
Yes, they are upset that we are there. And that can create a vibe. While experiencing the sweet relief of piss, I thought it was nothing more than your standard don't be a dick warning sign until I read on. I will leave it up for the experts to determine whether this constitutes tat, but for what it's worth, I do think it's either someone's poor attempt at humor or they were too scared to swear. Love the pod, and of course, praise redacted, Koji David. Okay, so this is a warning sign next to a urinal, Phil. It's your classic exclamation mark in a yellow triangle.
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, it's quite confusing. Please do not put anything in this urinal unless you have blanked it first, especially blank blank.
Do not put anything in this urinal unless you have blanked it first. Especially what?
Especially blanking blank.
And is it trying to be funny, this thing?
Yeah-ish. Yeah.
Don't put anything in the urinal unless you've drunk it first.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Wait. Especially if you're blanking blank.
No, especially blanking blank.
Especially blanking
blank. I would say those two words, blanking blank, refer to one object or...
Oh, okay.
...thing.
Oh, God. Especially... And the first is an ing word, is it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Especially if you're drinking. Is ing word drinking?
No. Especially blanking blank.
Gosh. Oh, right. Especially blanking blank. Especially rubbing alcohol. Especially...
What do you find in urinals that probably annoys cleaners?
Poo. Cigarettes.
Maybe
back in the day.
More modern and more legal.
Chewing gum.
Yeah, you got it.
Of course.
Especially chewing gum. But it doesn't make sense because you don't drink chewing gum.
You don't drink chewing gum. That's what threw me off.
It's not a very good sign. Please do not put anything in the urinal unless you have drunk it first, especially chewing gum. Eh?
Yeah, and also, like, to the first point, is it that much of an issue if I pour beer directly into the urinal? Is that going to clog up the pipes? I don't think so.
Yeah, what if I just hook up the tap to the urinal and create an infinite waste feed?
Cut out the middleman. How about that? We can all go home.
Yeah, we can all go home. Guys, I automated it. I automated the piss factory. Wait, what? Yeah, you know how we all have to come here and we drink this stuff and make it into piss and then we put it in the tube and it's like a job and it costs us money and it's
such
a pain.
Yeah, we all have to spend all this money every weekend taking this liquid from over in this room into the next room.
Yeah, because it's too cold. It's too cold to go in the pipe and it's fizzy and the only way to get rid of the fizz and to make it warm is to drink it. You know the job.
That's why we're all here, right?
The piss factory. I've automated it. What a terribly revealing thing to say to everyone else at the pub. Obviously, none of us want to be here. We want to be at home with our families. But we got to do it.
But duty called.
Duty
what
called.
I'm saying is now, this is like the Industrial Revolution for the piss factory.
This is a huge deal, guys. This is a huge deal. Thank you, David. Yes, that's odd. Also, like, would they really be okay with chewing gum in the urinal if I, like, popped it out my urethra? Like a like a chewy kidney stone? Just burp.
Ugh, that's horrible.
Would there be a Scottish man there going like, eh, well, you pissed it out. You drank it and you pissed it out. Fair enough. You did it.
Fair dues. We're out of time.
We've pissed
this half hour right into the urinal.
We did our duty.
We've drunk it and pissed it out.
We've drunk it and we pissed it out and it's all going to be fine.
Thank you for being patrons.
Thank you guys. Thank you for being VIPs.
Yes. Would you say that is strange that you
would
are VIPs?
You
I wouldn't.
Strange?
Would you say that's strange?
Would you?
It's just such a funny thing to ask a child. Would you say that's strange?
Would you say that's strange?
But thank you for being the best fucking weirdos we could ever hope for.
Oh, I hate that.
we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.